Hello, this is Donovan Hall for the Long Island Beer Update. I've been writing these beer updates for a couple of months now and posting them on a good beer blog in text. I actually write these out. This is the first time that I've sat down to read one of them or expand on them. What I'm going to do is read what I wrote so that the people who don't have time to read the post on a good beer blog can listen to the beer update on their iPod or on their computer or however they want to do it. I'm making an MP3 file. Hopefully, all you listeners out there are savvy enough to figure out how to listen to it. What I'm going to do is basically I read it and I will expand on some of the things as I see fit, because when you're writing, you can't obviously go into all the detail that you'd want. So here it goes. Long Island Beer Update, number 5, Looking for Mr. Goodbeer. Last time, I said I'd let you know about the 10th Annual Beer Brew-Off, and I ended up judging two flights, stouts and German wheat and rye. I hadn't judged in a few years, primarily because my connection with the beer scene was severed when I relocated from Florida to Long Island about 3.5 years ago. Additionally, our nuclear family census incremented from 2 to 3 during that time. My son was born. And as any brewer knows, when you add a newborn to the equation, somehow brewing becomes much more difficult. So James Spencer actually had some really good advice for a prospective brewing father. Brew lots of beer just prior to the delivery. So know your delivery date and brew furiously. Okay, where was I? Now, a couple of years later, I'm pretty well connected to the Long Island beer culture. Despite my uneasy start at beer judging, after the first couple of score sheets, I was back into the swing of things. I already started writing competition brewing chapter for this year's book, where I dispel some of the popular misconceptions about brewing competitions and judging at them. And this book I'm referring to is, primarily I'm a writer, and I feel like I have to write a book a year. So what I'm doing now is I'm writing beer books, basically nonfiction novels about beer culture and the beer scene, and my experiences at the annual beer brew-off will be the backbone of the chapter on competition brewing. Plus, I'll be drawing a lot on my experiences from down in Florida to show how those things are run and what actually goes on. But we won't go into that here, since that's not the main point of Long Island Beer Update number 5. Continuing, the brew-off had nearly 250 total entries, which were dispatched in two flights. The best of show round was still going on when I left, and if you go to a good beer blog, you'll get the links that I refer to. The URL I'll give for a good beer blog is the word beer blog, one word, beerblog, .genx40, that's genx40.com. That's the URL for a good beer blog where this edition of Long Island Beer Update is posted. And you'll looking for Mr. Good Beer, and all these links will be in there. So I posted the winners a link to the winners list that is on the beer website, and beer stands for Brewers East End Revival. That's our local brew club here in Long Island. Now, over the last 2 weeks, I made my rounds to the Long Island breweries, and I finally had the ESB at the Black Forest. Every time I go to the Black Forest, I end up ordering a Hefeweizen or a Maybach or Maybach. Occasionally he'll have these English styles on, which are excellent beers, by the way. The ESB at the Black Forest is an amber beer. It's hoppy. It has a dry finish. I got some lemony notes, and I don't think it's a defect. It really made the beer refreshing. I don't know where the tartness was coming from, but I actually enjoyed it. The other flavor component I detected was a slight tea-like flavor, which I speculate comes from a long hop boil, actually using a lot of hops. I made a pale ale 2 years ago where I chucked in a lot of hops. I really, really hopped it for the boil to make it bitter. I wanted a bitter, bitter, bitter beer, and I ended up with something that tasted a little tea-like. And then I discovered, well, it's not really my favorite, so I've cut back on the hop additions at the beginning ever since then. But it was a good experiment, I think. But if you know where these tea-like flavors come from, I'll see if I can look it up. But if you know, just send me an email, donovanhall@gmail.com. I'd be happy to hear about your comments. If you don't know how to spell my name, it's donavanhall @gmail.com. The only drawback to this drinking experience at the Black Forest was one of the servers evidently had bathed in his cologne that morning. So I had to time my sips of the ESB when that particular server was on the other side of the restaurant. Now, I've got some advice for all you head brewers out there at brew pubs. This goes for food service in general, even chefs. Tell your servers to go easy on the cologne, please, because if you're biting into a steak or whatever, or trying to get the aroma of a beer, the last thing you want is to be sniffing your teenage server's polo. I like to visit the Black Forest during the day so I can drop by Kedco, which is actually just down the street. Kedco's primarily a wine supply, equipment supply for refrigeration systems. Inside there is a Brews Brothers brewing homebrew shop. The Brews Brothers, they're extremely helpful and attentive. Every time I've gone in, they've been very helpful. And have set me up with whatever I needed. And this time I got some Pilsner malt for the Saison I ended up brewing last Monday. And also I grabbed a selection of hop pellets and assorted hardware, including a tap handle that I'm going to install inside of my keg fridge so I don't have to open the fridge door to get my home-brewed draft beer. And I threatened to post a picture. Actually, I threatened to post all kinds of things on my website, and people need to remind me to follow up on this, because two weeks ago in my Long Island beer update number 4, I promised to post the recipe that I found for the Abbey single at Southampton Public House. I haven't done it yet, but nobody's complained, so I need to be held accountable, people. Okay. Some of you might have noticed that I'm working on a Long Island beer guide. I'll tell you the URL for this one since it's on my website. It's beer.donovanhall.net. That will basically get you to all of my beer writing. Constantly updating the site with new information about Long Island beer and other beers from around the world and my beer adventures. Let's see, I decided to take last Friday off to do some research for my Long Island beer guide. And one of the things I'm doing is visiting Long Island beer shops to get an idea of what kind of stock they have. I'm starting to notice a pattern. Most of the shops on Long Island have one small set of shelves they dedicate to craft and imported beer. These I'm calling one-star beer shops. They all have the same set of craft beers, essentially. Any place you walk into, you're going to find Chimay, Unibrew, Samuel Smith. I'm not counting like the big ones like Sam Adams and Guinness. I mean, that's a given. Of course, you'll always find also the Long Island craft beers in these shops, which Southampton is now essentially as ubiquitous as Blue Point's beers in the beer shops. I found out, this is an addendum, I found out that Phil Markowski evidently has relocated to Connecticut so that he can more closely supervise and, according to my source, Phil Markowski is personally brewing all of the beer at Saratoga Springs, the Mendocino Brewery there, or I guess it's old Saratoga Brewing Company. I'm working on a post about this, so here's a little preview. Evidently, he's personally brewing all of these, all of the batches that go into the bottles there, and he's also brewing the 10th anniversary ale, which is in a corked 750 milliliter bottle. Their 10th anniversary ale is being brewed at Sly Fox Brewery. I believe that's in New Jersey. I'm sorry, I'm doing this from memory. I should have looked it up, but I didn't know I was going to talk about this. Word is Phil Markowski is brewing the bottled beers, and the he has some assistants at the Public House, and they're brewing some really excellent beers there too. I was there 2 weeks ago for the Great American Beer Tour, and had two excellent beers that night, the ESB and the Espresso Stout, and I think I wrote about that. And Long Island Beer Update number 4, which is also available either on my website under Brews Letter, or if you go to my website, beer.donovanhall.net, and click on Brews Letter at the top, and scroll down a bit, you'll get to Long Island Beer Update number 4, or you can search for it on a good beer blog. Okay, let's get back to beer shops on Long Island. I have the second category is the two-star shops that have just a slightly bigger selection, but this selection is still derived from what I consider to be a readily available beers like Fuller's and Hoegaarden, Leffe, basically your big European beer companies. In addition, these two-star shops, they usually have a fairly decent selection of regional mid-Atlantic craft beers. I guess Dogfish Head is not considered regional anymore. I think they're pretty much spreading from coast to coast, as far as I could tell. Maybe not. What you'll see in these shops, the New England Brewing Company, is it North Coast? My memory is bad. That's what happens when you have small children and they wake up in the middle of the night. Your memory starts going. And I've only found, one three-star shop that carries literally hundreds of, for me, hard-to-find beers. And that store is Shoreline Beverage in Huntington. Now, if that name sounds familiar, then you have probably read my coverage of the flawed Long Island Beer Festival. I say it's flawed because even though I bought my tickets 2 months in advance, they didn't let me in when I got to the door. They oversold the event by about 2,000 tickets, by my estimate. I also wrote a little bit about that. That was actually the main part of my previous Long Island Beer Update number 4. So you can read that on a good beer blog or on my site. My search for more three-star beer shops on Long Island continues. If you live here on Long Island and your local beer shop is what you think a three-star shop, let me know. Please send me an email. I want to visit it. The donovanhall@gmail.com. Send me a tip, and I'll give you some credit. Say your name on the air if you want. Last Tuesday, I took my son to a Long Island Duck baseball game, Long Island Ducks baseball game. I didn't realize that I'd be doing any beer research that night, but to my surprise, Southampton's beers weren't only available at the ballpark, they were highly visible. The Southampton Public House is evidently a sponsor of the Ducks. Blue Point beers were also available. Apparently, Southampton's Secret Ale and Blue Point's Toasted Lager are available on draft at the ballpark. That information, I think, I spotted on Beer Advocate. There's a thread about Southampton Scouting Report thread in the Mid-Atlantic Forum, and there are some other Long Island craft beer baseball fans did a little more complete search of the ballpark than I did since I was with my son. I pretty much confined myself to the beer stand that was near where we were seated. And so if you want to read more about my my trip to the ballpark with my son and the beer at the Major Corporation Field here on Long Island, you can check out my blog. That's on donovanhall.net/blog. My blog's called Catch and Release. There's also a link in the hard copy or hard copy here, the text version of the Long Island beer update. Now, also on Tuesday, the first part of my a three-part series on the AHA membership rally at Brooklyn Brewery appeared on the Spirit World. You may or may not know, I also write about beer for the Spirit World, which is one of the blogs that is part of the Well Fed Network. And I have a weekly column there. I also have some other shorter pieces which appear occasionally on other days on the Spirit World. But if you want to read my beer columns on the Spirit World, that's thespiritworld.net. And that's every Tuesday I have a new column. And I'm doing a series on the American Homebrewers Association membership rally at Brooklyn Brewery where I talk about, I met Stephen Hindy, the president of Brooklyn Brewery there. And Garrett Oliver spoke that night at the brewery. And I talk a little bit about his brewing philosophy and some of the, you know, I think either the second or third part of that series. So don't miss that. I've got a new beer writing gig for Len DeBowers. Len Thompson, Len was instrumental in setting me up with the people at Well Fed. Len's a fellow columnist, but he writes for the Wine Sediments blog on the Well Fed Network. Len has his own blog called Len DeBowers, which covers, basically food and wine, on Long Island and New York. So now, since he's brought me on, Len DeBowers will be covering Long Island and New York State beers. And I'll be contributing columns on a semi-regular basis. And my first column appeared today, actually, Friday, June 2nd, on Len DeBowers. You can type in lendebowers.com, LENNDEVOURS.com. And look for local beers for every season, Blue Point Brewing. Recently, I proposed that an organization for beer educators be established to train and certify people to speak knowledgeably and intelligently about beer and spread the good news of beer to the world. This was I'm serious. This was in reaction to what happened at the Long Island Beer Festival. Not only was it overcrowded, but from what I heard from talking to a lot of people who were inside working the festival or just attending the festival, learning about the beers, talking to people about the beers was very difficult. It was not a place where a lot of beer education was going on. So what I was proposing there I think mainly on my some of the posts I put on my own blog, Catch and Release, an organization similar to the Beer Judge Certification Program, but this one for beer educators, Beer Education Certification Program, be created to certify beer educators that then basically beer festival organizers could approach the certified beer educators to come to the festivals. Work the festivals, talking to the people, helping them understand better what's in their glass, and teaching them about beer and how to appreciate it more completely. So what I'm doing is I'm starting a series of beer tastings, which I'm hosting, and I hosted my first Long Island beer tasting last Wednesday on the last day of May. And we had, that night we were focusing on German and American wheat beers. We opened up seven bottles of commercial beers, And I also let these beer curious people try some homebrew. I made a Bavarian wheat beer back at the end of April, and I let them see what homebrew tasted like right next to the commercial examples. And you know, every brewer thinks their beer is great, but you know, I think the five people that came to my tasting, these were not brewers or beer geeks. These are normal people. You know, some of them are usually just wine drinkers, but they have a sophisticated enough palate that they're open-minded about trying beers. And I, you know, some of them, this was the first time they'd ever tasted a homebrew. And you know, okay, so I'm standing there. They know it's my beer. They're not going to tell me it sucks because they're polite. But you know, homebrew is good stuff, and you know, I've been doing it for 9 years, and I'm pretty sure that these people will be drinking more homebrew in the future. And at least one of the people there wants to become a homebrewer himself, and wants to attend one of my brewing. So I'll probably be doing a brewing open house sometime this summer, and I'll tell you more about that. So basically, what I'm doing is grassroots beer advocacy. Going out and grabbing my friends and collaring them and bringing them into the house and saying, here, drink some good beer. And this is something the beer community needs more of. I'll be hosting another tasting at the end of June that'll be focusing on Trappist ales. The event will be called Drink Like a Monk, and it's listed on Beer Advocate. Just go to beeradvocate.com, click on the calendar under June 28th, look for Drink Like a Monk. And you can sign up there or send me an email, donovanhall@gmail.com, and I'll put you on the list. If there's enough people, we might even have to move it to a bigger venue than my house. So, all right. One more thing before I quit. I recently joined the Mug Club at John Harvard's in Lake Grove. I went there last night and had their... DJ Swanson, the brewer there, has made a wit, which he's put in, I guess, per 7-barrel batch. He's put in 25 whole oranges sliced, and one lemon. And it was very interesting wit, extremely interesting aroma, very, very fruity. I mean, fresh fruit, very, very lively aroma. And the beer itself is quite tart and refreshing, and I was looking forward to having my next glass. I only had one glass in my, or one mug last night. My wife and son went along, and my son was getting a little tired, so we limited it to one mug. But it was an excellent mug. One of the reasons I wanted to mention my joining the Mug Club at John Harvard's for is that I was just poking around Beer Advocate and noticed a few people have made some posts about the John Harvard's beer not being the greatest beer in the world. Well, these posts are several years old, from 2003, 2004. Things are very different now. DJ Swanson is probably one of the most innovative brewers that I've encountered in my brewing and beer drinking career. He basically operates an autonomous operation here on Long Island down in Lake Grove, and he does some really interesting things. In fact, right now there's an IPA he's fermented with a Belgian yeast. And that's in the cask. I didn't get to try it last night, but I'm probably going to go back for lunch today and get a mug of that. I've never had a Belgian IPA before. I'd be really interested to see what it tastes like. And, you know, really, I think more brewers should be open to, you know, going out on the brewing limb and making some, you know, making some beers that aren't on the style map. Because when I walk into a brew pub and I just see pale ale, stout, they might be wonderful pale ales and stouts and porters, But really, I mean, I've been visiting brew pubs for a decade at least or more, and so I've had a lot of pale ales and stouts at brew pubs, and you know, when I see something like Belgian IPA, I'm thinking, okay, here's a brewer that wants to challenge his guests, challenge the beer palates of his regular crowd, and I admire that. So head over to John Harvard's and try some of DJ's innovative brews. Okay, that essentially is the end of the text portion of Long Island Beer Update. There's some things I just completely left out because of space considerations and time. I did visit Mobo Bar. Was it last Thursday before last? And talked with the bartender there. The Mobo Brew Tap is back, and they at that time they had the Blue Point Blonde Ale, or Double Blonde Ale. That was excellent, excellent by the way. And they also had the Summer Ale and the Toasted Lager on tap. So there's three taps at Mobo Bar. Mobo Bar is right next door. My house is it Miller Place? Yeah, Miller Place, which is the town just next to Rocky Point. And so, you know, if you live here on Long Island on the North Shore and Miller Place isn't too far a drive, you know, Mobo Bar is I think there's I was going to say there's a link to it on my website, but I haven't got the Mobo Bar page up on my guide. Working on that still, but I believe mobobar.com will get you the address and the other particulars about Mobo. So, I'll wrap it up for this edition of the Long Island Beer Update. My name is Donovan Hall. You can find more of my stuff at donovanhall.net. If you want beer-specific material, just put a beer on the front of that, beer.donovanhall.net. And that's Donovan, DonavanHall, all one word, .net. Okay. Well, so long. Be talking to you later.